What's up, everybody? We back up in here, Hella Flagrant, the podcast. It's your main man, Flagrant DM. I'm in here with my brother, Sean B. Flagrant. Y'all already know, man, we in here, Hella Flagrant, the podcast. How you doing, Sean B.? What's up with it, man?
Oh, you know me. I'm always good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. We're going to jump off today talking about Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray. The Oklahoma quarterback is in, you know, kind of an interesting situation. This past June, he was drafted by my hometown team, our hometown team, the Oakland Athletics, you know, to be a Major League Baseball outfielder. However, he just won the Heisman at quarterback. So there's a little bit of a debate going on as to, you know, which way he should go. The NFL, obviously, there's big lights, big money. You know, he may end up on a team that may need him to start right away. Major League Baseball, he might be in a farm system. He may or may not start. He may or may not get, you know, as big of a check right away. You know, what would you do?
I mean, it's crazy to me because, I mean, this is the first time, I guess, since Charlie Ward that we've actually had this discussion whether somebody had the option to either play baseball or football. A few people have done it. It's very uncommon, actually, you know, for somebody to do two sports at one time. Just because of the sports are, you know, they're different things. I mean, one outfielder being an outfielder or even playing baseball in general, it's a lot more standing around. You got to learn how to pitch if you're a pitcher, bat, everything like that. It's just a different dynamic than, you know, playing football. Football, you're pretty much running for your life, throwing a football. I mean, every day is a test, I guess, for your manhood because, I mean, you can get hit by a 300, 500-pound man flying after you, you know, as him playing a quarterback. So, it kind of just break down what he really wants to do. Being in Oklahoma, I mean, all-world quarterback, obviously just won the Heisman Trophy right now last week. You know, being now the quarterback from Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, and the other quarterback, Hopkins, from Ohio State. So, obviously, he's a great quarterback, and, you know, he's done big things in college level. Now, the one problem I do see with being a quarterback in the NFL is you are around 5'7 to 5'10, something like that. Not too many people have been successful being that height. I mean, last year the draft came out. Baker Mayfield was drafted. He's doing pretty well right now in the NFL so far. You know, kind of a shorter guy. Obviously, we know about Russell Wilson, who just played Monday Night Football from Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, Drew Brees, who does his thing every year for the Saints.
Right.
So there are a select few that can do it. But just like I alluded to a little bit ago, you're going to be running against big, big, big men that are trying to take your head off every play, you know, every play of the snap. So you got to think about this, too. You get drafted. Most likely, you're going to be a high draft pick. If you're the Heisman Trophy winner, you're most likely going to go in the first round. You're going to get drafted to a team that might need you right away. So I'm looking at, I don't know, Oakland Raiders, Tampa Bay Buccaneers probably going to be moving on, New York Giants, obviously, definitely the, you know, Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I mean, there's a handful of teams. Washington Redskins need a quarterback now, obviously, because Alex Smith is done. So there's a lot of teams that, you know, you could be drafted to right away if you do decide to play football. Now, the only bad thing about that is a lot of those teams probably don't have a great offensive line. I know Oakland doesn't. I know that for a fact.
I know Washington doesn't.
And a few of those
other teams you mentioned do not.
New York definitely doesn't. I mean, especially that left side, you're going to get slammed every day. We saw what Eli did this year. So
But now, I mean, if you're New York though, now let's sit on that one for a second, because if I'm New York and I have Saquon Barkley, I've got Odell Beckham, does it behoove me to start, you know, trying to have conversations with Kyler Murray and his people to say, hey, we can build a team around you? Does it, you know, for a team like that that may have some pieces but not all of them, you know, does it make sense for them to start trying to plant those seeds to say, hey, we can build a team around you? Because, again, your other option is the Oakland A's, right? And we know that the Oakland A's have a problem keeping star players. So if he's that good in baseball, he's not going to stick around in Oakland. There's a chance he's going to be in Boston or New York, you know, in no time. And maybe that's where he wants to end up. Who knows? You know, if I'm the New York Giants football team, you know, I think it would make sense for me right now with a few of those pieces already in play to start having those conversations, you know, with people around Kyler Murray to be like, hey, we can build a nice little team around you and make you the focal point of this.
Right. And I mean, it just kind of depends on what he wants in terms of, you know, star power or instant access, because really think about it, right now you drafted by Oakland A's. Most likely you're going to have to go through a farm system, or if you do play right away, not saying that you won't be an impact player, but especially playing in the Oakland A's market, you're not going to be shown too much unless you're hitting home runs like Chris Davis or being a defensive player like Matt Chapman. Plus, we all know the Oakland A's, like we said, don't really showcase their players as a whole. So that's the one thing. Now, I mean, I don't know how far his love for baseball is as opposed to his love for football. Got to think about this. Last week, just won the Heisman Trophy. Coming up on December 29th, you're about to play the biggest football franchise in America, Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yep.
If you go over there and show Nick Saban and your other Heisman Trophy candidate Tua Tagovailoa that you are all world, you're going to have a lot of NFL scouts drooling over you,
right?
Trying to pull you into the NFL. Now,
right.
With that, of course, we've known because Baker Mayfield actually did that a few years ago when he came and he played very well against Alabama. That was the easy instant gratification that scouts needed. So, if you do play very well against them, you're going to have those scouts that are going to want it, and they're going to say, just like you said, hey, we can build a team around you. If you come and you come and play for us, don't worry about it. We might not have played very well right now, but we got, it's New York. We can make you the biggest, you know, the biggest thing going. Look what we did for Eli's career before he, you know, got old as hell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's teams, Oakland Raiders. I know that, you know, John Gruden has been terrible this year, but I mean, there's still a stigma with the Oakland Raiders. There still is the possibility of when you do finally come in to be the big star, you'll be front and center in Las Vegas. So, right. I mean, there are obstacles right now for Tyler Murray to kind of sit down and think about, because I mean, he's going to be a star in either one. It's just depending on if you want to be a star today or if you want to maybe have to work your way up to get known in baseball. Like I said, there's still the obstacle of you can get killed over here playing football, but you can be a star right now, or you can have a very easy career and kind of just work your way up the pipeline and possibly get paid fat, you know what I'm saying, paying baseball if you're a great player, but you might not have the instant gratification and success and polarizing spotlight like you would if you played, you know, in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I don't foresee him. I mean, I've watched him play a little. I don't know. I play a little football. I've never watched him play baseball, so I can't, you know, say that I've ever seen his game. But I don't know that he's going to be one of those guys that can switch between the two either. Obviously some people have rumbled about, well, you know, what if he goes to play baseball and then decides he wants to switch to football? You can't really do that. If you're going to do anything, you would start with football and go to baseball, but then the risk of injury is so high in football that, you know, if you really play and play well and you're an impact player on the football field, you're going to get hit as a quarterback. That's just part of the game. I mean, I don't care how great your offensive line is, you're going to take some hits as a quarterback, and eventually that's going to wear on you. And so your ability to play baseball, you know, is going to suffer because of that. So I don't really buy into that other conversation that I've heard some people have about him trying to play both. I think that's really, really, really hard to do. And I don't foresee in this NFL and this MLB, like you really got to pick one or the other.
No, I don't even think they'll let you do that. You know, it's way too hard, especially being a quarterback and being anything in a baseball field. I mean, you have to learn so many plays. You have to be physically prepared, mentally prepared for football day in, day out. It's like you said, I mean, just the attack of people coming out, you're going to get hit doing nothing. You will get hit at least 10 times per game, even if you have a flawless offensive line. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, playing baseball, I make fun of it and say it's easy to play. It's not. It's not at all. You still have to have talent. You still have to have skill. You still have to have the mindset to play it day in and day out. It looks easy because the players that are playing are very good. But no, there's no way in hell that Kyler Murray is going to play both sports. They won't even think about that. So for him, I mean, I love to have the decision, honestly. I mean, it's a great decision for a young man.
It's a great decision to have.
You know, it's great. More power to him.
As a fan, I want him to come to Oakland and restore greatness to Oakland A's baseball, but that's bigger than him. There's a few other levels restoring greatness in Oakland A's baseball.
I would say he could come to Oakland either way. But unfortunately,
we might be getting a new stadium. So,
but unfortunately, I'm talking about he could have went to Oakland in terms of either baseball or football, but I think they were probably going to get into something that's going to explain why we probably won't be able to see him get into Oakland football either way.
Because there may not be Oakland football anymore. So as you alluded to, the city of Oakland has proceeded with their decision to file suit against the Oakland Raiders organization. I know you're going to take this one real personally, being that, you know, you are a Raider fan. And
so let me speak a little bit about this situation because it's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I've been on a roller coaster, obviously, as a lot of us Oakland Raider fans have been on this past few years, finding out about our team moving over to Las Vegas. I think the shock is kind of settling down in terms of the fact that they're leaving. But the news that came out today didn't really help it. So as we know, the Raiders are supposed to be starting in their new building somewhere around 2020, 2021, something like that, in Las Vegas. Now, City of Oakland did not take too kindly when it happened. They felt that we were going to be able to maintain and retain the Raiders as a franchise and stay at O.co Arena, of Sissy Stick and Hagenberger. But that is not the case. Mark Davis had other plans, and he decided to leave. Now, the biggest thing is this. Oakland, we were in an uproar. I think the city of Oakland took it way more personally than the fans did in general. They are upset. They do not like the fact that the Raiders decided to move with almost without consulting them or without giving them a chance to build or to get the money or ask taxpayers to get the money to, you know, basically fund a new stadium. They felt like Mark Davis had other plans, that he had Las Vegas in his mind altogether, and that was a situation that was enlarged. Now, if you do not know the situation, Mark Davis does not have a lot of money. I don't know how many Oakland Raider fans know that, but Mark Davis is not a big, big baller like a lot of these other owners. He is not Jerry Jones. He is his father's son who does not have the bread, period, point blank. Now
we won't speak about why.
Right. Now, the only way he was able to get a stadium was to go to Las Vegas. So with that, I do believe that there is some truth to what Oakland is saying about the fact that they didn't really consult the city of Oakland about the stadium because they had in their mind that they were already going to move to Las Vegas. I agree with that. I also agree that the other 32 teams had a part in that because they knew that if they were scheduled to play the Oakland Raiders, well, the Las Vegas Raiders, excuse me, in Las Vegas, that they would draw a lot of revenue as well. They thought about Super Bowls. They thought about everything, especially now with the acceptance of gambling. This is what it is. The city of Oakland is now suing the Oakland Raiders for detrimental to all the situation that's going on with the Raiders and the fact that they left without consulting them. Now, I want to read this article that was written earlier today from the Times about the situation because there were some very choice words that I thought was used that I thought was really, really bold. Kimberly, let's say, let me not mess her name up.
Vekalarov.
Vekalarov of the San Francisco Chronicle said this: in the lawsuit, all 32 teams colluded in an illegal cartel. Now, if you know what that means, an illegal cartel, to use those choice words for a football team is outrageous. But it also
But look at what team she's using it against, too, though. You feel right. me? Like, I got to walk a thin line on this show about the things that I say and can't say, because I don't know everything. I just hear things and people say things. But, you know, there's some interesting rumors as to why Mark Davis doesn't have money. And so when you use words like illegal cartel in reference to the Raiders, you know what I'm saying? Like, you start to like kind of throw some shots out there. Like, I feel like the city of Oakland might have been throwing some shots at the right. team right there.
Yes, those choice words are very, 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 very standoutish to me, because that is a little bit close to digging a little deep into the situation.
Right, right, exactly. So, exactly.
On with that, it says that the demands of cities publicity are publicly finance new stadiums or be at risk of losing the franchise relocations. The Raiders' illegal move lines the pockets of NFL owners and sticks Oakland, its residents, taxpayers, and dedicated fans with the bill. Oakland City Attorney Barbara Parker said in a statement, "The purpose of this lawsuit is to hold the defendants accountable and to help compensate Oakland for the damages the defendants' unlawful actions," another choice words, mm-hmm. "have caused and will cause the people of Oakland."
Yeah. Now, you know, those are some choice trigger words. And they're some pretty strong words. And you may be right. They may be digging deeper into the situation than just what's on the surface. And that's their right, and probably their job at this point is to embarrass Mark Davis, because the city of Oakland feels like he's done that to them. You know, it's a real slap in the face to say, you know, bring your team back and then turn around and say, we're going to go ahead and go to Las Vegas after, you know, we've been here. We, at the time too, when the decision was made, and I think me personally, not even being a Raiders fan, just looking at it from the outside perspective, it was like, right as y'all were starting to get hot, you know what I'm saying? That 2016, 2017 season where you had Amari Cooper, you had Crabtree, you had Carr clicking, and it was like, oh, okay, everything's going hot. Season ticket sales are starting to click back. Oh, we're going to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so to the city of Oakland, I can kind of understand how that's a slap in the face a little bit. And so at this point, using these words and filing this lawsuit in the way that they have, maybe that is their goal, is to embarrass Mark Davis in the same way.
Well, you also got to think, too, just like as you were speaking about the season when they were 12-4, looking at 12-3, I guess you could say. But then Derek Carr goes down hurt. They lose the last game. They lose their playoff game. That year we had high hopes to maybe even try to take down New England, which probably wouldn't have happened. But the city of Oakland was, you know, they were gassed up. We loved every minute of it. We thought we had a team that was forming in the Oakland Raiders. Now, come to find out that we're now moving to Las Vegas now that the city's hot. Big slap in the face. Also, at the same time, you have to understand that while this was happening, we had players moving around, people leaving, people getting fired. Just wasn't a good look. The reason why the city was upset was because they felt that the Oakland Raiders were undercutting them on money, scamming them, not paying their just dues in terms of parking, which is what the city pretty much, you know, takes their cut from. when they do have Oakland Raider games. Also, the fact that they were playing seven games instead of the normal eight games. The league kept scheduling them for seven games and counting their home games over in Mexico City, or, you know, like this year in London. It's a big loss. It's a big money loss. I mean,
it is. It is.
Take
it
that
is.
Every day or every year, you know, revenue, especially when you're only making money for parking. They were getting scammed from that. And they felt like Oakland wasn't willing, or Oakland Raiders weren't willing to pay, you know, their retainer fee for the stadium, you know, like they asked them to. At the same time, you had the A's basically juggling for a new home as well. So the city of Oakland kind of felt like, well, we'd rather stick with the team that plays, what, around 80-something games per year as opposed to seven.
Right.
And they're not giving us our cut for, you know, for the situation. On top of that, you had a losing season after that with Jack Del Rio, 6-10. It's a pathetic year. You had people fighting in during the game. I'm not even going to get into that. But anyway, so cuts were also made after that. Now, firing of that, this is where the problem came in, I think, for a lot of Raider fans. And you've heard me vent very much on this show about the whole Khalil Mack thing. But you have to understand this deeper than that. Because if you had the money to go to Vegas and you funded the money, but you couldn't fund the money to get it here, but then you had the money to spend $100 million on John Gruden, who has done nothing at all since he has been here except for beat the Pittsburgh Steelers with a broken-down Ben Roethlisberger, which doesn't make a bit of care to me, especially when you have no chance of making the playoffs. But you had the money to do that, but you could not spend it on your best player slash spend any type of money on getting a stadium. I think the city of Oakland, as well as the fans, are a little pissed off that you can do all this and take all that money over to Vegas where you're going to get a whole bunch more money. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Vegas to death. But the fact of the matter is you had that money and you chose to spend that money, which you did have, on things that you could cover up on other things. Because that $100 million was basically a cover up to soften the blow for you to go to Vegas. But if you had that money to do that, why didn't you have that money to pay for Oakland to at least continue a lease and maybe get the taxpayers later on to figure out a way to pitch in with the money? There's ways to do this. There's ways to get the thing. There's just because you need a stadium doesn't mean you have to pay that whole money exactly right there. There are ways to do it. Oakland could have helped and maybe even you paid back. You didn't want to do that. You wanted to go to Las Vegas, which is fine. But that's what all 32 teams wanted you to do. And that's why I think that the city of Oakland has a good gripe about this, because this was planned. This was in the works. This was in the works the whole time. I mean, basically, if you really want to break it down, I'll just say this straight up. To all the Oakland Raiders fans, to the city of Oakland, you have been lied to. This thing was a con the whole time. John Gruden was hired not only to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders, or I should more likely say the Las Vegas Raiders, but more importantly, to sell you on a dream, to make you believe that the last few years in Oakland was going to be about you and what this team has meant for Oakland. It never was. It never was that. They used John Gruden and they paid him to be the scapegoat, to make you feel like everything was okay, to make you think that, okay, well, this can be turned around. We just have to have faith in Gruden. Gruden is a very smart man. He knows exactly how to sell people. That's why he does that's why he did a great job when he was working with Monday Night Football, because you believed everything he said. That quarterback camp, he agreed with every single person that came in that quarterback. It was nobody he didn't like. He was like George Foreman when they had the little contest. He liked every single invention that came through. John Gruden never had an opinion on anything. He never criticized any quarterback, but yet and still, he's sitting over here struggling with Derek Carr. It is not Derek Carr's fault. They are doing this purposely, and they are running plays. I am solely convinced that John Gruden is smart enough to program and to throw plays out there to make it look like that Derek Carr is not playing well, to make the Oakland Raiders not play well. I'm not trying to sit here and say that they're a great football team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to sit here and say that. All I'm saying is they know how to lose, period, point blank. They know what they're doing. They do not have the money to sign people. They needed that money to basically take that, pay off debts or whatever you have it. Not going to get into that. But the fact of the matter is they got a stadium now. The Raiders are Las Vegas's Raiders. I don't know if it's Mark Davis's Las Vegas Raiders or whoever's Las Vegas Raiders. But the fact of the matter is the Las Vegas Raiders are being basically showcase right now. Oakland Raiders are gone. And that's what the city of Oakland is upset at, and I well deserve, because they never had a chance to keep their team.
Yeah.
At all.
And so in this interim, because there's going to be at least a season in between them, maybe two, in between them getting into the stadium, where are the Raiders going to go?
Well, I mean, right now they have, what, I think four spots that they listed. They said that, of course, they might think about San Diego because the Chargers old stadium is being vacated. I don't really know how great Stan Kroenke, the Los Angeles Rams owner, as well as the LA Chargers owner, is going to take to that, considering especially that it was his old home. Plus, San Diego's not too far from LA, and the Raiders still have a lot of fan bases, are a lot of fans in that area. But that's a possibility. Levi Stadium, it has been mentioned. I know you don't like that.
It's not on the table. Let's just,
because we will tear that place in outrage.
I don't know.
They did not rule out the possibility of going to Las Vegas a little bit early. And they also have said Reno, which would be
a tragedy. I was waiting for you to say Reno. Oh man, I would personally go to a Raider game in Reno. That would be the trashiest game I would ever go to in my life. Like, Reno's terrible. Like, it's cool, but it's like Reno.
I'm not gonna say anything about Reno. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I like to go to Vegas. Like, that's all I can say. Like,
That's all you can say about Reno. It's just like,
yeah. I mean,
nickel slots. I mean, what else do you have in Reno?
Right. That's. I feel like if you're gonna take the team from Oakland, and I'm not supposed to like the fact that they're going to Las Vegas, I feel like Reno is just like being in the sunken place. Like,
yeah, don't give me Reno in between, but like, yeah, that's not even cool. Like, I can't even.
Right, like that's just making me more angry, just because like now I don't like anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't think about rooting for this team. I can't.
Reno Raiders, like, but that doesn't even sound right. That sounds like a Comedy Central show. Raiders.
They can't even go that road. It's not. It's just going to be Las Vegas Raiders. They Reno will understand. They can't. They it's either going to be the Oakland Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders. They if they put the Reno Raiders, like, I'm getting. I don't even know how to do laser remover, tattoo remover, but I'll get it done. Like, if you commit to the Reno Raiders, like, this thing is coming off. Either I'm wearing long sleeve shirts for the rest of the year. I don't care how hot it is.
Hot August nights.
Yeah, hot August nights. I have a long sleeve shirt at hot August nights, because I ain't. There's no way I'm gonna show no Reno Raiders tattoo. You gotta be no.
Oh man, that'd be great. But I'd go to one of those games.
It'd be you and 16 other people. Good luck.
And then go to the world's worst buffet after.
Yeah, for real. 16 and 30-cent buffet in downstairs.
Just bring a bucket of nickels,
right? Oh, load up on shrimp in Reno. Get sick.
They do have an LFP cocktail shrimp.
I don't ever understand that. It's like, where are you getting this from? Like, where are you bringing this in from? It took me 3 hours to get up here in the mountains. Like, something's got to go bad.
There's no water anywhere around here.
Something's got to go bad. Like, that lake's been frozen for I don't know how long. Like, what are you talking about? This shrimp, this baby shrimp that you have.
You got it in the wintertime. Like, where the... Does this Miami-Minnesota game have any impact on the playoffs? No, right?
Yes. Both of them.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota's got to win.
See, Miami has a chance to get in there, too. They're like, what, 7-something? 7-6. Like, Miami has a chance to legit get in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7-6 teams in the AFC. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's big ramifications for, what's it called? I mean... You look at
Minnesota too, being 6-6-1. Yeah, they need to win out to try to get a wild card spot above Seattle.
Look at where Pittsburgh is at right now. Pittsburgh has got some, man, they got to play New England this week. They got to go to the Saints next week. Their division is kind of suspect, but no, Ravens might win that. It might be all bad.
Yeah, Philly might have. I don't know. They play the Rams, and I think they got to go play.
Philly is. I don't know. Philly is more. I think Philly is more working on spoiler alert right now. Like, I mean.
Well, no. I mean, they could only spoil it for. But well, no. Yeah, for potentially the Texans, if they beat the Texans.
But I mean, like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I don't really mean necessarily spoiler alert, but, they still need to try to win, but it's like you got to hope that the Cowboys just implode or whatever.
Yeah, this is a weird last couple of weeks, but, like, there's a lot in the air.
It's because a lot of these teams are pretty trash, man.
Like, yeah, but like there's obviously, not even obviously, like there's no until, I mean, up until Kareem Hunt got hurt, Kansas City was dominant. New Orleans isn't, I mean, they've been dominant through these games, but then they've also shown you for whatever reason against Tampa that they could buckle, which is crazy.
Well, I think that more than anything, they're tired, plus. You got to think too. Like, I mean, they're a team that if they're not in that Superdome, they're beatable. They're in the Superdome; it's a wrap. Like, you might even forget about it. But
I'm just saying, like, to me, there's no clear Super Bowl winner right now. Like,
because Jared Goff is becoming Jared Goff again. Yeah. Like, you could tell. Like, he's still. I mean, because their offense is whatever, but losing Cooper Kupp hurt them. Big time. Doesn't seem like it, but he is a big part of their offense. And Jared Goff is just – he's not really having that great of a time. Like, he's completing passes, but he's not – he's really not doing a lot. They said – I think Nick Mullins has a better passing rating than he does right now. Yeah, so
– Mully.
Yeah. I think the Colts are going to win this week. I think they're going to beat Dallas.
Well, yeah, they got Ezekiel Elliott listed as probable.
I mean, even if he does play, I know Tyron Smith, their left tackle, is banged up. He went down the last play. Of course, Zeke. Like, I just.
Yeah, and I mean, them too. They sit at 7-6, too. They win a game. They may be able to jump somebody if somebody loses.
They did a statistic, too. And I think it was them, and it was another team. It was one other team. I gotta remember which one it was. But they've basically been at home for like a month.
Damn.
And I think it was the Texans. Like, they've been at home literally for a month. And now they're having their first road game. Like, doesn't fare too well. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you get hella comfortable and shit like that, just playing.
No, not the Colts.
No, I'm saying the Texans have been at home, I think, for the last two or three or four weeks. They haven't left. And then I think the Cowboys, same thing. The Cowboys haven't been on the road for like 3 weeks. So it's like a lot of those teams, when you don't go nowhere, and then you finally get out of the fucking thing. Yeah. Especially the Cowboys don't have nothing to worry about. They're still playing in the Dome, but it's still a different –
yeah, you're right. They play their last three games at home. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of these games don't seem like a big deal. Like, I know Chicago is playing really well right now. I'm trying to make a case for Green Bay to get these points.
Man, listen.
I'm trying to get away to Green Bay to make
I don't want to write them completely off, but it's just kind of like at this point in the season with all that's going on, I mean, all you can hope to do is try to play tough, but at the same time, like,
I mean, I put it like this. I'm not saying Green Bay is going to win the game, but I mean, I think that I put it like this. I think Chicago is relying too much on their defense to basically hold games completely a certain way.
So do you buy the 5.5 and the 46.5 over under?
I'm trying to make a case that Green Bay can keep it close, and I'm almost thinking the under on the game, but I'm thinking Green Bay can keep it somewhat close. But I don't know, because last time that they played, it was 24-23, and I can easily see that happening because Green Bay doesn't have very good defense. But it's still Aaron Rodgers, and he's the only person that I know that can get away from Khalil Mack and fucking Hicks and Danny Trevathan and all of them. So if he can get a scramble, I can see him making a play. I don't see them. Basically, what I was trying to say is, like, I'm basically relying that the defense can't play well enough to stop Aaron Rodgers continuously to give Mitchell Trubisky good enough time to score a lot of points. You see what I'm saying?
So you're calling it one of these 20-17 games like they've had, like Green Bay's had recently.
That's kind of more in the wheelhouse that I'm thinking of. Like, now, I mean, 5.5 is right on the number, I guess, because I mean, but I just think it's gonna come within a touchdown, pretty much. So I would more take the 5.5 as opposed to
the under.
I don't know. I'm not betting that. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but I mean, this is not the 85 Bears. Like,
right.
I'm not taking nothing away from them, but it's like, damn. Like, eventually, you know, eventually they can be beat. They can't. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look at towards the beginning of the year. I mean, they're playing well as of now, but I mean, they still have problems scoring. You know what I'm saying? They're still not beating people. They won what? One game, I think, it went crazy against. That was against Tampa Bay, right? Or did Tampa Bay the other way? Was it the other way?
For Chicago?
Yeah.
Their wins have been 48. They beat Tampa 48-10.
Yeah, that was the only
win. And then they beat the Bills 41-9.
Okay.
Those are the only two 40-point games. They put up 34 against Detroit, 30 against they lost to the Giants 30-27. That's crazy.
Right. And I mean, I've got Soldier Field is a monster in itself, so I'm not trying to sit here and say that Soldier Field is going to play a big deal with it, but Aaron Rodgers has played in Soldier Field as well as the Green Bay Packers millions and millions.
Well, they really haven't put up more than 30 points at home, though. The Lions game was 34, but
they did against the Patriots, but the Patriots, like, barely against the Patriots.
It was 31, but they lost. They put up 31 points in a loss to the Patriots at home. But even in the win against the Rams last week, they only put up 15 at home. Against the Vikings, they only put up 25 at home. The Jets, they only put up 24 at home. You know what I'm saying? So you're right. It could be a low-scoring game. Seahawks, they only put up 20. Like, they beat – oh, yeah, they beat Tampa at home. That was a 48 game. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not scoring a whole hell of a lot of points, especially when at home. They score more on the road.
Yeah, they're relying on their defense to get it done, which is not a bad deal, but I'm just not going to put my money against Aaron Rodgers. Like, even if he's having a bad year, just because I know that he can, if nothing else, cover. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not saying he'll win. I'm not saying that they're going to win the game, but covering, I can.
Yeah, he'll bring him down, you know, if he needs to at the end of the game and try to, like, either tie it with a field goal or do some crazy kind of – but it'll be close enough
and
for him to think that he could get that done.
Yeah, now that Michael McCarthy is gone, like he's free will to do whatever.
Oh, he's pulling everything out. pulling everything out.
He doesn't want to make it seem like that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what the narrative is. It's like, oh, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers is just too demanding. He don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't think that's the. I just think that he just wants to prove to everybody like it ain't him.
Yeah. So that's a look ahead at this week's, you know, NFL news and top games. And so we'll see how that pans out. There's a lot of playoff implications through, you know, a lot of those games. So we'll see how that works out. And so with that, we're going to wrap up episode 5, Hella Flagrant, the podcast. As always, you can find us on Instagram, you know, me at @FlagrantDM and Shawnee B is Sean.B.Flagrant. And, you know, at the Flagrant Foul. Instagram, Twitter, we on there, Facebook, we on there, and then make sure you go check out the YouTube page, click subscribe so that whenever we drop new videos, you get the alerts right to your YouTube app. Because we always drop a new, fresh, new content. Sometimes it's not a full episode, sometimes we got some little quick videos in between episodes. So you want to make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube, so that you can stay up to date on all the videos and all the flagrant, hella flagrant podcast news and stories.
Yep, and you can still get these shirts online, www.hellaflagrant.com. We got all sizes and colors, different, you know, designs. This is more of the older shirts. We also got the Aaron Stripe shirts that are up right now. Any different color, customizer, whatever you need for your teams. I mean, like I said, Christmas is coming up, so boom, get them right now as fast as you can. But, yeah, stay tuned in all the stuff that we got on the site, www.theflagrantfoul.com. We will have more stories and more things that are up there. So, you know, especially for the new year coming up. But, you know, thank y'all for watching us.